praises, man. Let's stand together, if you will. Let's just bow our heads as we open the service. Heavenly Father, Lord, we're so appreciative. So, Lord, we love you so much. Lord, the grace that you bestow in my life alone, Lord, and just there's no words to express what it makes you feel, Lord, when you see your hand in our lives and guiding us and leading us. And Lord, I pray, Father, as each and every one of us have gathered in here tonight, Lord, that pull in our heart, that anticipation, Father, as your word comes forth, Lord, may our hearts be open. And Lord, just pulling. Father, grant to us a revelation, Lord, that can rise us up on heights that we've yet to be in, Lord. Father, Lord, truly your coming is so close. And Father, in my life I see such a need. So Lord, help me tonight. And Lord, and everyone, Lord, that maybe come in with a need, or Lord, maybe they're just run down and need a lifting up. Father, you know every heart. So meet every need in here is my prayer. Draw us ever close to thee, Lord, and just bless every phase of the service that you may get the glory and honor. We ask in your precious holy name. Amen. Praise his name. Do you love him?
Amen.
Oh, he's so wonderful to us. You may be seated if you'd like. Amen. Praise his name. I just feel like worshiping him a little bit tonight. Amen. Let's sing, turn to page 4, one we're so familiar with. Amen. Gone from my heart. Gone from my heart. The
was
do love you. Thank you so much. Hallelujah. Amen. You may be seated. Hallelujah. Turn with me to page 323. I'd like to try this. Amen. Might have to. You know that one, Amy? Let me. Amen. Hallelujah to the Lamb. Hallelujah to the Lamb that was slain upon the tree. By his stripes we are healed, and by his Spirit we are sealed. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. Sing it. Hallelujah to the Lamb. Hallelujah to the Lamb that was slain upon the tree. By his stripes we are healed, and by his Spirit we are sealed. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. Amen. Sing it again. Hallelujah to the Lamb. Hallelujah to the Lamb that was slain upon the tree. By his stripes we are healed, and by his Spirit we are sealed. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. One more time. Oh, hallelujah to the Lamb. Hallelujah to the Lamb that was slain upon the tree. By his stripes we are healed, and by his Spirit we are sealed. Land that was slain
do appreciate all you've done for us. Oh, God, how unworthy I am, Lord, but I thank you so much. Thank you so much. Hallelujah. Amen. Oh, he's so wonderful. Oh, it's amazing grace, saints. You can look in your life and see what he's done for you. Amen. Sing that with me. Amazing grace. Oh, hallelujah.
Amazing grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me.
Precious Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Do you really love him, saints? Oh, hallelujah. You may be seated. Hallelujah. Brother Luke, would you like to come up? Amen. That's the blessing. Oh, yes. Flow through me, worshiping the Lord.
Flow through me, Holy Spirit, flow through me. Flow through me, Holy Spirit, flow through me.
You have something on your heart, a need, request? Amen. Just hold it on your heart. Brother Philip, would you take the request this evening?
Gracious Lord, may the desire of every heart here tonight be just to have that closer walk with you, Lord. Thy God, that we might walk pleasing in your sight.
Yes.
We might find grace and mercy, Lord, that you might work in our lives and through our lives to manifest the very little life of Jesus Christ here upon this earth in this hour.
Yes.
We pray tonight as we approach the Lord for the needs of the people, Lord, those that have their hands up, Lord, and by God, you know the need, the desire on that heart. We pray, Father, that even now you just move in our midst, Lord, move in our hearts through faith, Lord, and by God, and the desire, Lord, to do thy will, God, and the every need to be met, Lord, whether it be spiritual or physical or material, Lord, we pray that you'd meet the need, Lord, for your honor and your glory. And we pray tonight as your word comes forth, that you just, by God, open our hearts to receive your word, Lord. And by God, they bring fruit in our lives, Lord.
Yes.
And may we pray that you'll anoint the one that brings forth the word tonight, that
yes,
you'll anoint his lips, Lord, and by God, anoint his mind and his heart, Lord, as you speak your word, Lord, that thy God, that it might strike our hearts, and that thy God cause us, Lord, to have a greater desire to serve you. That we pray now, Father, as we say, all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. You may be seated. Amen. Would you have a song tonight, Carrie?
Thank you. We see the shadows of evening falling, and the Spirit of the Lord is gently calling,
gently calling.
Come, my love, draw close to me. Give me your all, I gave mine to thee. Lay aside all your cares of life and just love me. I've never felt such a yearning, such a sweet, sweet love burning,
drawing,
holding,
compelling
me. I just want to lay down everything, show him how much he means to me, live for him. Is our own will finally breaking as we feel the old earth shaking, telling us by the signs it's almost over,
all but over.
Any second he can. Are we ready or do we doubt and fear? It's time to lay all else aside and just love him. I've never felt such a yearning, such a sweet, sweet love. Show him how much he means to me. Live for him every minute of my life and love him all the time.
Let's all stand. Sing a little chorus. Only believe. Ask our brother to come.
Only believe. Only believe. All things are possible.
Bow our heads. Heavenly Father, we are so appreciative in our hearts for your precious Spirit, Lord, your sweet Holy Spirit. Father, again, you've kept your promise. knowing, Lord, as we gathered here, you gathered with us. For you're even in us. And we appreciate that so very much. We've come here again this evening, Lord, not to be seen. Not to just only have a fellowship with each other. But Lord, to have fellowship with you. And Lord, to gather around your precious word. Mine goes back, Lord, to when you walked the earth in that flesh body. As you'd gather the people, maybe on a hillside, and begin to speak. Oh, Lord, the attention. The King of Kings was speaking. The Lord of Lords. Oh, God, how they must have been so attentive to listen. Carefully what you would say. Lord, may we be so attentive to listen to what your word is speaking tonight. Not what a man's speaking, Lord. Father, man's words can fail. And heavens and earth shall pass away, but your word shall never pass away, and it'll never fail. We ask, Lord, that unfailing word speak to us tonight. Open our hearts by the Holy Spirit. Remove all the filth, Lord, of the day and all the cares of life. The things, Lord, that seem oftentimes to be so important and things that must be done and things how it should be done. May it all begin to fade now as, Lord, your Holy Spirit moves into our hearts. We ask now that you grant that. Truly, Lord, is to your glory and your honor. In the wonderful name of our Lord Jesus Christ, we ask thee. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Praise the Lord. Let us turn our Bibles, if you'd like to turn with me. I'll tell you what, sit down for a moment first. I want to read a quote here. Brother Bram was speaking. And I was in my study this evening and just waiting on the Lord. I actually got so carried away I forgot to shave. And I never even got the time got away from me and thinking about this. And I was, as I said, just waiting on the Lord. And this quote come to me and it just seemed to express in such a way. And of course, you know, sometimes being a minister, you always ask the Lord, Lord, just confirm it to me. This is what you want. Just give me a little extra confirmation. This is what you want me to bring this evening. Though it's, we've heard these things before, but yet it's so powerful and so meaningful. But this little quote, I'll read it to you. Now let's, this is in the message, why it had to be shepherd. And this was December 21st, 1964. Paragraph 246. Now let's sing one of the great hymns of all times. I love it so well. I love him. And that was the first song that was sang tonight of all times. You know, I believe if we would just all love him, we would do what he asked us to do. But you know what? The Lord Jesus Christ isn't going to come down in flesh, his flesh body, and tell you what he wants. He already did. Amen. And now you have to have ears to hear. Amen. And eyes to see, which very few in this age are equipped with, to know it's him again talking to you through the word. I believe if we'd just all love him, we would do what he asked us to do. How call ye me Lord, and do not the things I command you to do? Y'all know what Lord is? My ruler. My ruler. Amen. He says, how call ye me Lord, and do not the things I command you to do? How do you call me Lord and not do what I told you to do? Quite a subject to think about, isn't it? I think it may seem strange, it's not really my subject tonight, but yet, if we sit here tonight and I stand there tonight and I say, we'll just say, if we say, well, Brother Steve, we love the Lord. Whose opinion is that? Whose opinion is it that I love the Lord? Whose is it? If it doesn't match exactly what God said about those that love Him, He said, He that loveth me will keep my commandments. And if it's not met in our life and we don't do what He says to do, and He isn't truly Lord in my life, that's just my opinion. You know? So whose opinion is it that I love the Lord? And when we sing, I love Him, I love Him, whose opinion is it? But don't you think about it, this first song we sang, and it wasn't by chance. No, it wasn't by chance. God had a reason for it. Let's just stand and read one of scripture reading tonight, if you'd like to turn with me to the book of Hebrews. I can say to you what I'm going to bring to you tonight is not my ideas. It's God's Word.
Amen.
And guess what? It's exactly what God wants.
Amen.
Yeah. All right. Hebrews 10th chapter. And let's begin to read here about the 23rd verse. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. For He is faithful, the promised. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another. And so much the more. So much the more. That means do it more. Says just what He means, doesn't He?
Amen.
And so much the more as you see it, the day approaching. You see it. Don't tell me you don't see it.
Amen.
You see it. Now notice what He says next after what He just said.
Amen.
For if we sin willfully after we have received the knowledge of the truth, and if I was ever to believe anyone received knowledge of the truth, this group has to say, you know,
Amen.
The knowledge of the truth.
Amen.
For if we sin willfully after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins. There's no more blood there. But a certain fearful looking for a judgment and fiery indignation which shall devour the adversaries. He that despised Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses.
Amen.
Of how much sore punishment suppose ye? Shall he be thought worthy who hath trodden under the foot the Son of God and hath counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified an unholy thing and hath done despite unto the Spirit of grace. Wow. God's grace has been given to us abundantly. God bless reading his word, and you may be seated. So, we see that day approaching. It's here. It ain't maybe here. It's here. We see that day approaching. It has approached. We're at the end of ends of times. And most anything can happen now. Anything. To finish this last quick work that God will do. And as I said, we can't get around the subject that we have to try to figure out if we are approaching that time. It is absolutely, positively, without a doubt, seeing everything, how everything's fitting together and dovetailing together, and seeing how the Holy Spirit is bringing our hearts back to the Word of God on all these things, and see the earth doing what it's doing, all the crust of the earth falling apart, caving in, earthquakes, waves, storms, just all kinds of things. All kinds of just ungodly, destroyed humanity. Minds gone. Insane. People don't even know wrong anymore. They don't know what wrong is. It's just become nothing but a bunch of filth. And here we are, been given a spirit of grace that we could see the hour we're living in, the time, the day, and what's being fulfilled. It's been given to us to know. Amen. Understand these things. What manner of people ought we to be? And that's what Paul is trying to get to here. When he said here, he said, not forsaking assembling ourselves together as the manner of some is. And tell me, this ain't the time that some is. Look how many have turned from going into a service, and regardless how far they had to get to it or what had to happen, if they had to move, whatever had to get that service. But no, they choose the way of just sitting at home. As the manner of some is. Mm-hmm. Amen. Forsaking the assembling of themselves together. The age is here. The time is here. You see, all through message-believing people, to be so-called message-believing people, forsaking, assembling, staying home, not paying a bit of attention to Scripture. You see? And as I said already about where he said here, we see that day approaching. We know it's all getting close. And Apostle Paul said, after all this and getting us stirred to this way of thinking, then he says, for if we sin willfully, after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, God sent the prophet of the age, friends. Amen. And we've received the knowledge of the truth. Amen. That's right. All the little dark corners and places that wasn't sure and had lots of questions and no answers. It was all taken care of. The mysteries of God was finished. Oh yeah. God sent his prophet. And he spoke through that prophet. And told him exactly what it was. They have received the knowledge of the truth. And as Brother Branham, I read to you before, he said, you don't have to have the revelation of it. Just receive the knowledge of it. Too bad. Too bad. You received the knowledge of it. And to think of people that has been sent here on this earth and received these things and then let the cares of life choke. Choke. Strangle. To where there's no time. There's no love. There's no thinking. So meditating upon God. But become so choked out, which Jesus himself warned us in this age that it would come.
Amen.
And yet though it has been warned, the warning came. Still people fail to see the warning and become like foolish mice that's about to step in the trap after a piece of fleshly cheese, peanut butter that's going to perish, that'll not last. So unaware, so carelessly going about their life and miss the whole thing, what God is doing. See, turn with me again to the book of Peter, 2 Peter. And let's just begin the second verse. Let's go ahead and start the first verse. 2 Peter and the first chapter, and begin here at the first verse. I speak boldly to you tonight, knowing this is what God wants. Amen.
Amen.
I am assured. Glory to His name. I am so assured that the Lord Jesus Himself would choose to come down and speak, He would tell you the same thing. Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained a like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, according as His divine power. Divine power. Why is it divine? Because it's God. God is the only one divine. He is the great divine one. According as His divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. Gave us all things. Us all things. He's seen us in His mind before there was a world formed. He gave us all things. He gave us eternal life. He sent us on earth, and before we got here, He made a propitiation for our sins. The blood of His Son as He hung on a cross and died. You and I. He made a way for us. He made a way for us to give us the desire that we needed. That when we got here and came to a certain time in life, that we were born and our life began to expand and go out through the world. Knew that we would fall. We were born fallen. We were born in sin and shape of iniquity. But He gave us a new life. He gave us a nature inside. That He would change it from a worldly nature to a God nature. He gave us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, knowing that nature that He placed inside of us would be of a godly way. It'd be God ways, God nature. See? He gave us all things that pertain unto life. He gave us life that even after this flesh is dead, He gave us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. And godliness is to be like God. Is it not?
Amen.
To be like God in all that we do in this life. To be like God. Through the knowledge of Him. How do we find out? Through the knowledge that He gave us. He revealed it so we would know that we would be one of these people. Through the knowledge of Him that hath called us to glory and virtue. To glory and virtue. Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Now you tell me, somebody ain't going to whip this world and all of its cares of life and all its filth, all its carnality. Tell me somebody ain't going to tear it to pieces and life is going to be there. God gave unto them all things that pertain unto life that will tear this world and life to pieces. Divine nature. Partakers of the divine nature. Think of it. Divine nature. I looked it up again. It said, of the relating to the characteristics of God. I'm sure we all know what characteristics is. We've talked on these things before, but characteristics. We talked about the certain birds, remember? And there are certain characteristics. Would fly a certain way, you know? Like the yellowhammer he's talking about. Take a woodpecker. Its characteristics was to peck on the wood and drill holes. Try to get the insects out of the wood. But a bluebird won't do that because it's not its characteristics. Neither will a robin because it's not its characteristics to do so. Well, these characteristics that God has is God-like ways. Which you and I have to have. See? He said, partakers of divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. That's what makes it corruption to us as a person. And us be partakers of that corruption if we're not given the thing to escape it. So we become partakers of the corruption of the world. All this corruption, cares of life. You say, cares of life is corruption? It is if it takes you away from one word, it's corruption. Amen. I don't care what care of life it is. It may be a job that you have to feed your family, you have to have a home, you have to drive an automobile, and you have to do this. But if it interferes with God, it's corruption. Yeah. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue. And to virtue, knowledge. And to knowledge, temperance. So we're going to spend a lot of time on these things, but we won't this evening. And to temperance, patience. And to patience, godliness. And to godliness, brotherly kindness. And to brotherly kindness, love. For if these things be in you, and be just a little bit, that ain't what it said, is it? These things be in you and abound. There's a lot of it. It's to the fullest. There's no empty spots. It is the best it gets because it's God. Do you hear me? These things come to the place that the best that it gets because it's God again. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now notice what it said there. If they abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Maybe that's the problem a lot of people have today. They don't receive the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. You're always confused and strung out on some kind of a man's creed and idea. See? But he that lacketh these things is blind. Blind. I'm sure we all know what blind is about. When we see somebody blind out on the street with their cane, and they're tapping with their cane along the sidewalk and trying to make sure they don't run into something or fall off the edge of the curb, they don't know where they're going or what's in front of them. What's coming? What's going to happen to them? They're blind. And cannot see afar off. Can't see afar off. Is that why people lose the vision? And get so wrapped up in this life? And the Lord Jesus Christ truly isn't Lord of all? Cannot see afar off and have forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. It's so bad they forget even it was purged from their old sins. Wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence. Diligence. Which is why I'll read again some of the things I'll read this evening. I'll try to hurry up because I don't want to hold you too long. Give diligence to make your calling an election, sure.
Amen.
Don't just be in a maybe situation, or I don't know, or I hope so, but you better make your calling election sure. There's only one place you can get that, and that's through Jesus Christ and the Word. When the preacher's up there preaching the Word of God and is preaching the Word, and I can't line up to it, I can't be sure. When the Word of God comes forth and I can line up with it, and then I can be sure. My calling and election is sure because I can match the Word. For if you do these things, you shall never fail. Never. Never, never fail. All right. Now let me read some things here real quickly. Is it okay so far? You getting too tired already?
No.
All right. Again, it could be the last sermon for somebody.
Amen.
Amen. Invisible Union Bride of Christ, November 25th, 1965, paragraph 243. And a man that's born of God, a son of God, has to, everything I read is going to be, we've already had before, okay? But that doesn't mean anything. Word of God is inspired.
Amen.
It'll meet somebody in somebody's situation and help somebody.
Amen.
Yeah. It's like one message a preacher not too long ago. I thought, well, he was just kind of reading scripture, but I had several say how much that meant to him. And we was just reading scriptures. Well, the Lord must know. You know, I don't know these things, but God knows these things, you see. All right. A man that's born of God, a son of God, has to have, that's what I said, has to have, and I'm sure you can see why after I just read what I did in 2 Peter, first chapter. A son of God has to have the nature of God. He has to be like God. Wow. I'm going to tell you what. We's born as human beings. If God doesn't come in us and do this, we isn't like God at all. I mean nothing. I don't care if we're a good, moral, kind, sweet person. We're nothing like God. We have to be like God. We have to be the nature of God. He has to be like God. He honors God. He is a part of the Word of God. And in this last days of this bride taking form, don't you see a little bride taking form? Oh my. Just exactly the same power that He was in at the beginning has to come up through these organizations and so forth and come out for the bride. He can't be nothing else but that. Wow. So does that sound like a, just a good old, moral, nice, kind person is going to meet this? No. Ain't even close. Somebody that don't swear ain't going to even meet it, friends. Not alone the ones that believe the message and still swear. Yeah, they ain't even in the picture. But so-called believers that maybe don't swear. Sweet as honey. Still don't mean they're like God. Because when it's like God and it's the nature of God, it's the entire Word of God. Which is what the prophet said in future home of it, the true evidence of the baptism of the Holy Ghost was. Be able to receive that Word of God, and that Word vindicate itself, the entire Word of God. See? Let's go on. I want to give you some things to think about this evening.
Amen.
Show us the Father. This was in Tucson. He preached June 6, 1963, paragraph 17. He says here, he's talking here, said in paragraph 118. Now let's compare that with the blood of goats and sheep. For sin, it was just, he skips her a minute, he said, with a propitiation, certainly, but it didn't sufficiently do the job because it was an animal's blood. You know what he's talking about. I just don't want to go back and take time to read all of it. And when the blood cells broke of the innocent one, the lamb's life could not come back on a human. So back then, when they offered their lamb or their bullock, goat, whatever they had, for their sins for that year, they kept coming back year after year. They couldn't get rid of them totally. That's why every year they had to offer a lamb, offer the goat, offer the bullock, whatever it was. The life that was in that lamb, bullock, goat, whatever it was, could not come back upon the worshiper, the believer. It couldn't come on. Because it had no soul. It's merely an animal. But when Jesus came and that blood cell was broke, the life of God Himself comes upon us.
Amen.
Oh, hallelujah. And we are sons and daughters of God with His nature. Nature, again, remember, is it drives ambitions, desires. See? That hunger. Oh my. Comes back upon us if we're truly born again. See why that person is so much different then? That's why it's so easy to know whether you're born again or not. Somebody said to think, easy? I still ain't figured this out. Whether for sure, Brother Steve, I'm born again. Don't you remember what Brother Brown said? What was your desires then and what is your desires now? Talk about a nature. Because there's what nature is, a desire. You see? What is your desire now or then and what is it now? You used to not get bothered with laughing at some carnal naked woman or laughing and enjoying some kind of ungodly music and looking at some ungodly Facebook that was just nothing but corruption and think it's a joy to look at and just saturate our eyes with. Used to, that'd be the way it was. But when you're born again, all that's gone. I love it. Because now, it's God's nature. look at the people that thinks they're born again when they are not. So simple, so easy, but they are blinded and kept from seeing it. And yet think. No wonder Apostle Paul said, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Wow. Make your calling and election sure. Sure. Because that's the only way you're going to get into rapture. And we are sons of daughter and daughters of God with His nature, you see? Real quick, this is three kinds of believers. Paragraph 37. And this is in November 24th, 1963. Paragraph 37. Nature has a law. Well, let me back up so you won't miss it. As Job said, thou would hide me in the grave, that thou would keep me in the secret place until thy wrath be. And now, that's it. If thou would hide me, see, he saw the nature, the tree, the life go down into the roots. Brother Way, and he's talking Brother Way, and there stay until the wrath be past. Just like in wintertime. The sap goes down into the roots of the tree until the wrath of the winter passes. Because you know what happens when the sap stays up in the tree and it gets real cold, freezing cold? Y'all know what happens? The tree will burst open and split. And then it'll kill the tree. But that God nature, which that nature has a law to it. When it gets that time of the year, which you see what's going on right now. The days are getting shorter, less sunlight. Though it ain't even frosted yet. Yet there's a law to the shortness of days and all the different things God put it together with. The tree, the root, the sap goes down in the roots. It's all starting to move down now. That's why the leaves are starting to fall. That sap's going down to prepare for the wrath that is coming. Okay? Because if it was to stay up, it would kill it. You see? Right? And there stay until the wrath be past, and then call me and set me a time. Talking about Job. Nature has a law. Nobody had to tell that sap to start going down, did it? Did you go out there? Does anybody here go out there and start telling the trees and talking to trees and say, now sap, start going down. The wrath's coming. Didn't, did you? I don't think you're that, Lulu. At least I'm sure of that. Now, there's people out there, I'm sure it is. But I know we ain't. But listen. There's a law of nature. There is no way at all to get around it. You ain't going to get around it. No. And I'll tell you what. You ain't going to go out there and put a bunch of heat lamps on that tree and make it do it. It still won't go down.
Amen.
In that ground. It's a law of nature. Who's in control of that sap going down? God is, right?
Yeah.
God created it, didn't he? He created to do exactly what done. There was a law to when he said, when he made that tree, created it, put it together, and all that, and he put a law to it.
Amen.
The sap has to go down for the winter coming. And it obeys. And nothing's going to change it.
Amen.
Now. And then there is a law of the Spirit. There's a law of the Spirit. Does that sound familiar? The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free. Has made me free from the law of sin and death. So I am free from the law of sin and death. The corruption in this world has no appetite to it. There is no appetite for it. No. There's no appetite for that ungodly worldly music. There's no appetite for somebody's foolish, ungodly ways that they want to show me and want me to be friends with them. Think about it. I know I hit a lot on Facebook, but when you start thinking of Scripture, friends. Friends. I'm not saying all your friends is that way, but look at the worldly friends who pick up. But he that's a friend of the world is an enemy of God. Get around that. Oh, that's just the way you're thinking. What if I'm thinking exactly what God thinks? What if I am? Who's in sin? I ain't. But some are. Yeah. Well, there's nothing wrong with having a friend in the world. Yeah, that's right. But does that friend in that world make you be attached to him and makes you be a part of his sin and be a partaker of his sin?
Right.
Oh. Another word. Bing. See? But you know the only way you can cipher through all that is by the Holy Ghost. Otherwise you can't. And bing, you know what happens? You realize you don't have the Holy Ghost. And then there is a law of the Spirit. There is also no way of getting around it. No way of getting around it. Let me go on over here. Try her this. I'm going to have to get over this real quick. This is an identification of Christ in all ages. April 9th, 1964. And paragraph 63. And that's how we are Christians. We're just born a Christian by the power of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And we are Christians by birth. That makes us new creatures. In our old nature, we could never be Christians. Because it just wants to be attached to the world too much. It wants to be tangled up in the cares of life too much. It wants to be like the world. So in that nature, we could never be Christians. It just can't get that every word that's important. It's just, well, hit it like the denominational people that do this certain thing and do that certain thing. And as long as they do this, everything's okay. But no, it's every word.
Amen.
That makes us new creatures. Our old nature, we could never be Christians. That's the reason today we have so many calling themselves Christians. Boy, ain't we living in that day. And living any kind of a life. They've never experienced that born again. That something that changes you. That takes the life out. Like pulling the blood out of a man and it's got a certain type of blood and putting another type in him. I'm type O positive. So if you pull all that out and put A positive in me, then it'd be different. But until then, it's O positive. Okay? It's pulling the old life out of a man and injecting the life of Christ, the life of Christ into the believer. And then he becomes a new creation. He's a new creature. Now, the only way that we'll ever know and could make all peoples be satisfied, if we'd ask Pentecostals, like, what do you think he should be? They would have him, he says, they would have him a Pentecostal. If I would ask United Brethren, what should he be? Well, if it was United Brethren, well, if you'd ask the Methodists, what a Methodist was, or Baptist, excuse me, and so forth. But now there's only one way to satisfy that and do it scripturally. So there is a scriptural way of proving to myself whether I'm born again. Without a doubt. No doubts. There's a way scripturally to prove it. He says, Now we want to always, in this platform, be exactly with the Scripture. If it isn't, you're duty-bound to come to me and correct me. Now, it wants to be with the Scriptures. So the only way to know what he is today is to find out what he was. That he said, he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And if we can find what he was, then he has got to be the same today. Because he cannot change. The Bible said he's the same yesterday. I'll say it this way. He's the same yesterday nature, today nature, and forever nature. What? God nature. See? In closing, I'll read one more. He says here, now we'll go ahead and read it. Is your life worthy of the gospel? Oh my, notice the title. Is your life worthy of the gospel? June 30th, 1963. Christians, why don't you sisters come on up, please. Oh, you must have a personal relationship to God in order to be a son of God. You must become relation to God. He must be your father in order for you to be a son. Now you hear that? In order for him to be a father, you must become his son. Is that right?
Amen.
You must become relation to God. See? And only his sons and daughters are saved. Not the members of the church, but sons and daughters. There's only one thing that will produce that. That's the new birth. The new birth is the only thing that will produce relationship to God. That's right. Sons and daughters. Then when this takes place, here's the question I want to get to you. The man says, what do you do after we've been born again? So many ask me that question. Is there any here still asking yourself that question? Do you know whether you are or not? I'm not just talking about getting some kind of a crazy idea in your mind and thinking you're a Christian when you're not. I'm talking about when you've sincerely searched in fear and trembling. Make sure you're calling your election sure. Yeah. You don't do this haphazardly, friend. We might do a job haphazardly. We might bake a cake haphazardly. We might take and wash the car haphazardly. And we might put a garden in haphazardly and all these other things in life. But you better not deal with your soul haphazardly. No. Here's the question I want to get to you. The man says, what do we do then after we've been born again? So many ask me that question. What should I do then, Brother Branham? If you are born again, before I read this next few words, how many is able to remember what you was before? Even if you think you was or are born again, but you know what you was sometime in life. I know what I was. I know what I was. I was no good at all. Still ain't much good. The only good that's in me is if Jesus Christ is fulfilling his word to my life. That's the only good about me. If you are born again, your entire nature is changed. You are dead to the things you once thought. Now remember, if something's dead, it ain't going to bother you no longer. It can't raise its head up. It can't move. It can't come up with some kind of crazy ideas. Nah, it's dead. You are dead to the things you once thought. Well, you say, well, Brother Branham, when I joined church, I got it. Well, then when God said Jesus Christ same yesterday, today, and forever, he still heals the sick. He still heals the sick, and he still shows visions. But Brother Branham, my church, now, amen, then you're not born again. See, shown if it's not accepting every word and every word's life, then you're not born again. You can't be. He said, you can't be. If the very God, if his life is in you, like you're the life of your father, and if the very life of God is in you, the very spirit that was in Christ is in you. Oh, hallelujah. How can the spirit live in Jesus Christ and write this? And then come back down in you and deny it. It ain't going to happen, friends. See, it can't do it. It punctuates every word to be so. Every word. Oh, my. Oh, Lord. I'm telling you, you better make sure. Something good's about to happen to those that are born again. And if you ain't, you better pray to God there's something stirring on the inside.
Amen.
If there is something stirring just a little bit, you better feed it with all you got. Because it might be your last chance. If there's a little bit of call on the inside, a little bit of deep, down deep, you'd better make sure you can satisfy it with God's holy desire. Not go around thinking, wondering, wishing, hoping, wondering if you are. Oh my. Believe me, friends, in almost 40 years of preaching, I've seen it. People thinking they got it. And they have a little trial happen. They don't know where they're at. Then they ain't sure they're born again. When the Word of God plainly, plainly shows whether they're born again or not, or whether they're not born again, why would we have to wonder about that today? Oh my. But you know what? There's going to be people that's going to think they're Christians when they're not. That's going to be the real. That's going to be the one that really is surprised on that day. Can't figure out how did this happen. I thought for sure. I was believing the end time message. I believed Brother Branham was the prophet. Dear Lord, I prophesied my name. I cast out devils, Lord. To do good, and you did it not. Wow. But Brother Steve, I just don't have something to keep me aware of this. I go through the day and I forget about God and I don't even know what I'm living for. Then you don't have it. You don't have it. If the cares of life can choke you away, you don't have it. You say, Brother Steve, I got it, but the chairs of life choked me away. You better go back and see what Jesus said in the parable, in the sower and the seed. Those that got tangled with the cares of life didn't make it, friends. No. Don't be so foolish to believe such nonsense. Listen to Jesus himself. People think they can be entangled with the cares of life and just forget all about the Lord Jesus every day and all day long and think, oh, no problem. And think they're going to make it in. They think as long as they remember him going to church, Everything's fine. No, it ain't fine. You're just adding coals under your feet. Yeah. It'll burn you up one of these days. But now's the time. While there's time left. Now's the time to get what it takes to be sure. And then everything else will work. Just like God said it would work.
Amen.
Amen. Praise His name. I won't hold you any longer. Let us all stand. Amen. Let's sing that little chorus. I'll need help singing it. This little chorus on page 299. He is here. Hallelujah. He is here. Amen. He is here. Holy, holy. I will bless His name again. He is here. Listen closely. Hear Him calling out your name. He is here. You can touch Him. And you will never be the same. Never be the same if you can really touch Him. Oh, I know He's here. Depends on how bad you want Him.
Amen.
Amen. Help me.
He is here. Hallelujah. He is here.
Father, as we come to the close of another service, was there anything said, Lord, in the Word that could strike my heart? Is there anything in Your Word, Lord, that could penetrate the crust from the world, the hardness man's hearts, the scales of unbelief? Oh God, what a blessed person we are if Your Holy Spirit can break through all the distractions of this life. You are here, Lord. We know You have called. And we know, Lord, if we can only touch You, if we can only touch You, oh Lord, what a blessing it is. You think about the little lady, Lord, with the blood issue. She just had a physical need. But yet, Lord, desperation had struck. She knew if this blood issue wouldn't stop. She was already becoming weak. It was coming to the point, Lord, it was so hard for her to make it through the day. It seemed like life was loading down on her. Things was just closing in on her. It was getting so hard and so rough. And she heard about you. For some reason, you placed a little something special on the inside of her. That she knew if she could just touch you, she would be made whole. Oh God, in that day come, the regardless of the press of the crowd, regardless of what even Jesus' disciples thought when you said, somebody touched me. Somebody touched me. Your disciples said, oh Lord, all these people around you are touching you. No. Somebody touched me. Makes me think, Lord, there's a lot of people that gather around you and try to touch you. Lord, for some reason, you don't feel nothing from them. Lord, of that little predestinated seed, oh God, something was striking home. Something was real. Something got a hold of you. Something attracted your attention. Oh God, help me to attract your attention. Every step of my life. Oh Lord, you're with me. Wherever I go, whatever I do, whatever I say, help me, Lord. I love you, Lord. And I want you truly to be Lord of my life. May that be the desire of every one of these people here with me tonight. And those that couldn't make it, Lord, may that be their desire also. Go with us now. We appreciate you. You're so wonderful. You're so good. So sweet. So mindful. So loving and caring. As your prophet said, he cares. You care, Lord. Do I care? That's the question. Help me, Lord, to care. If I don't care like I should, help me, Lord. Give me what I need. Bless us now. Go with us. Guide us. Keep us safe, Lord. Some as they travel, Lord, along the highway, keep them safe. Protect them. Bring us all back again the next time. If you should tarry, come in the Spirit. Prayed up. Waiting on you, Lord. Oh, you're good. Love you. In your holy name, greatest name I know, my Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I love you, Lord. He is here. He is here, amen. He is here, oh, you holy, holy. bless you.
You're dismissed. Amen.